that moment when you realize you have mastered your wellness. When you've become so resilient, you can conquer any hiccup life throws you. Yeah, well, me either. But I still ride unicorns. I'll teach you how to become a mindset master. You will learn how your habits and behavior affect your success in nutrition, exercise, relationships, organization, and so much more. It's your reality, and you need to do it your way. Self-care and self-love are anything but selfish. Take charge. Get excited. If not now, then when? Grab your espresso and get ready to talk all things wellness. It's time for Coach Couch and Coffee Radio with Coach Peggy Wellness right now.
Hey, everybody. Happy Monday. Welcome to Coach Couch and Coffee. And I am here with you, Coach Peggy. We are on Transformation Talk Radio. So we're talking about a subject today. Super excited. It's a controversial subject. I've done a few talks on this subject, a couple videos. I always get very interesting emails and comments about it. A lot of hands raised when I'm face-to-face with people. So today I have my coffee mug, my unicorn coffee mug. You know what coffee time is all about. I like to get together and chit chat about whatever subject, health, wellness, life in general. So make sure you email me at coachpeggy@3wellnesspillars.com and let me know what you'd like to chit chat about. So for the last 4 weeks, I did my shows on procrastination and disorganization. And so you can catch those on YouTube, my YouTube channel. You can find those on my Facebook. You can also find those on Transformation Talk Radio. So I want you to go back if you get an opportunity to do that, because it kind of slides real nicely into today's subject, which is hurry up and fail, which sounds horrible, but it's true. We're going to talk about why I believe in that concept. So fail is one of those tough words. So it's like fail, learning, mistakes, all of those things. So when I raised my kiddos, my sons, we were really into basketball, really into the NBA. And I'm going to date myself here, but Michael Jordan was a big deal. And the Chicago Bulls were, we had posters and they had outfits and it was just part of our life. So Scottie Pippen and, you know, all the names, Dennis Rodman, what a flashy dude he was, is still. So Michael Jordan has one of those quotes that I love, and I want to just throw that out at you guys right now. So here's what MJ says. I missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games, and 26 times I have been trusted to take the game-winning shot, and I missed. I failed over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeeded. So are we programmed to fail? Should we fail? What do we learn from that? What does that word mean to us? You know, when we're kiddos, we are taught often, well, we're, you know, don't fail, you know, you're a loser. Or sometimes we identify who we are, or we feel like it identifies who we are and how many times we fail. We get so hung up on that word. And as we get older, we forget to look at that as, you know, we'll try something once or twice and then we're like, well, that didn't go well for us. And we don't look at it as the learnings. So today I want to talk about thinking about as adults, even if I have younger listeners, I still want you to look about the, at this in the same way in your life. But as adults, I really want you to, in this show, to start hearing me when I say the word fail as not a bad word, not this, you know, reason we don't take chances. I want you to think of, kind of replace it with the word learning even, because I want you to chase these fails, these mini fails, these big fails, do some course corrections, come back. What did you learn? How can you take baby steps a little bit further each time? Because I'm not saying to make the same mistakes. That's not what I'm saying. And when I say hurry up and fail, it's kind of a tongue in cheek that I'm saying on we need to all make fails. Okay, all make fails because we're not going to get outside of our comfort zone, even though it seems super risky. All right, I want to kind of start today's show off in a little bit of a different spin, because I reach out to often clients ahead of time and just say, hey, I'm doing this upcoming show and this is the topic and what are your thoughts? Or I will usually mention on my show at the end, in the upcoming weeks, I'm chatting about blah, blah, blah. So I started to mention this show about a month ago that I would be doing it in September, and I pushed it back so I could do the last four on procrastination and disorganization. So I got some feedback, and I usually answer all of them in the after party, but one of them I thought would be fun, yet not so fun for me to answer, but I was going to put it out there. So I actually got a phone call, because my phone number is on my email, and I don't care. I get enough ghost calls anyways, or whatever they're called, robocalls. Yeah. So I got this call, and it wasn't like really mean, but it was a little bit sarcastic. Hi, my name is, I'm not even going to say. It was like, yeah, what are your epic fails, coach? You know, you've got this thing going on, whatever it is that you're doing. So what are your epic fails? And it kind of set me back a little bit, kind of caught me off guard. And I think I feel like I'm really transparent with my clients and with my videos and with all of you guys. And it made me start to think, well, maybe I'm not. Maybe it's time I get more transparent, which is feels really yucky sometimes. So I wanted to share with you my epic. I'm going to call them epic because I did it over and over about 40 years before I figured it out. My epic fails are surrounding food. Shock. Not on the overeating side, but the undereating side. Let me take you way back. I was about a senior in high school, spring of high school, last semester, had everything going for me, right? The good old quote unquote going for me. I was doing always a good student, athlete. Scholarships were lined out for me, headed off to college. It's going to be a courtroom stenographer. Like, if you guys do not know what that means, look it up. Going to sit there on a machine and type in a courtroom. Can you imagine me, extroverted, sitting in a courtroom all damn day, just whipping up those words? Yeah, no. But that's what I was going to college for. Everything was lined up. Well, my relationship at that time wasn't really going well. So what did I do? I was always an under-eater, not intentionally, just busy. So I start controlling my food, not eating. And it lasted a very long time. I would do well where I would eat well. A couple years later, I wouldn't. A couple years later, I'd get busy. Da, 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 da. And here's my point. I then went into not feeling well and having all sorts of illnesses and pneumonias and bronchitises and not feeling my best self and not performing my best. And I kept going into the medical community and saying, what the hell's wrong with me? There's something. Something's up. Block, roadblock after roadblock after roadblock. Bottom line, about 3 years ago, kind of got a bunch of answers, autoimmune stuff, and I listened. I listened to the doctors say, try this diet, take care of yourself. You've got to protect yourself. And you guys, the reason I'm saying this stuff to you is I want you to think about all those learnings that I had could all be failures. I could have quit at any point in time. I could have failed at being healthy. I failed at several diet plans. I failed at several life lessons, but I kept going and kept going and course correcting. And I'm just sharing that I'm not perfect, but you have to have the nerve. And some of the words I'd love to say on air, you know, you just can't. I need to be on Howard Stern's show. But you just have to have the nerve to keep going and not give a crap what anybody else says and keep trying and trying and trying and failing and making mistakes until you get what you want or you get the answers that you want. So again, that is my example, but I want you to think about if you don't keep trying, let's talk about how expensive failure is first. I want to back up. Failure taking risks is really expensive if you think about even just businesses. If they make a poor decision, poor product launch, even us personally, if we make a poor decision on a house that we can't afford, if we think we're going to dive in and have a bunch of children or animals and we don't look, you know, at the forward thinking in that, epic fails. But if we didn't take steps in those arenas, what is it? It's a complacent life with no growth, with no experiences that you can be interested. I had a client a couple weeks ago say something so profound to me. She said, I want to be interesting and be interested. If you guys don't try something and take the risks, we're not going to be interesting. What are you going to talk about? You sit at home not taking risks? Okay. Yeah, no. So trying something and failing in the medical world and trying tests and all those things like I did, that can be pricey. So, I mean, these fails that you are going to try are pricey, not only financially, but they can be very pricey in relationships. You're taking risks and that relationship didn't work. You can lose a career over trying certain things. But by the time you get older, 30s, 40s, 50s, into my decade, then it all lays out. You're like, wow, look at all the answers there. And you're able to look back and say, look at what I've learned. And that's maybe why that happened. And I should have done that. And we know we can't go back. But if you don't take these chances and have an opportunity to learn from mistakes, you know, what's the point, right? So today I want to talk about, let me give you a couple examples. First of all, did you guys know that Thomas Edison tried 10,000, I think, prototypes before he even created the light bulb, the successful light bulb, like 10,000 times. I can't think of anything slightly that I've done 10,000 times. Well, maybe I've had 10,000 clients, which I never consider them fails. We keep working at it. That's a lot before you get a light bulb, right? And then one of the other ones I wanted to say, Walt Disney, I think Kat's going to hold these different very, very successful people that tried things and failed. I think Walt Disney actually didn't get his. He was fired from his first job because he wasn't creative enough. Go figure on that one. So thank God he didn't give up. And those of us like myself who are super passionate and feel like their job is their purpose, we don't tend to give up. But when early in my career, when I was stepping into corporate wellness or stepping into this coach thing that didn't have a word back then, you just took a risk because there wasn't anything to compare it against. In today's world, there's a lot of us out there. And when you try things and try things and try things again, they can be really pricey, epic fails. So let's talk about how we define those fails. That's a tough thing, isn't it? What is a failure to John is not necessarily a failure to Sally. And we have our histories that affect us. And that, you know, if you think about family and friends around us as they've failed and how they handled those fails can certainly make us nervous on trying our own failures or our own risks. The reason the reason I keep saying this word failure, I just want to get you more comfortable with it. I want you to look at it as not a negative word. I want you to get it in back into your vocabulary and love that darn thing. I think I told you guys on a show of mine before where I told my youngest son, I said, I did the hurry up and fail thing. So hurry up and fail, son, you know, and I had to explain it to him too, like I am you guys. And I had just said, it gets really, you break a lot of laws when you're 25 years old. And the consequences are immense compared to if you break kind of those little baby laws or those rules and regulations when you're 15. So I would encourage him. I mean, I wasn't saying be a bad kid. Don't get me wrong. I was just saying now is the time that you take chances. Now is the time that you fail. And then you have me and you have your dad and you have your schoolmates that we can all help you through this and guide you through not doing the same exact darn thing again. So I always encouraged him to kind of step into this zone. That's why I'm using this word, is for you to get a little bit more comfortable with it. You know, we almost get paralyzed with taking chances and not wanting to fail with things. And I mean, I'm not telling you to do something deadly, right? Let's all take a sip of our coffee here. Our water, our coffee. Mike Mug says, unicorns in a field of horses. You know, I just have to sidebar here because it's hysterical. So I've been in Grand Junction, Colorado for several weeks now, headed back to Florida this next week. And I was in a Goodwill, and I always have my unicorn shirts on. This is a funny story though. Sidebar. And I was checking out, and this older lady, older than myself, so I can say that. And I was wearing one of my unicorn shirts, probably had some bad words on it. I don't remember exactly which one. And she's just looking at me really weird. And she said, can I ask you a really dumb question? And I said, sure. And she goes, what's up with this unicorn thing? Like, unicorns are everywhere. What's up with that? And I said, unicorns are magic. I just looked at her with this kind of 15-year-old, you know, unicorns are magic. you can do anything if you believe in magic and you're positive. And she just looked at me like, yeah, yeah, that. And I was like, just have a magical day, and walked out. Anyways, sidebar off my coffee cup. So let's give an example. You buy a house. Let's dive into the house situation. How many of you guys out there? Yeah, a lot of us who want to get that dream house, dream. You get your fence, you get six bedroom, whatever your dream is of this location you're first going to buy, and you bite off a little bit more than you can chew. Yeah, I'll just put myself on that list a couple of times. And someone says, no, you know, it's way outside of your league. What are you doing buying that thing? And you don't really seek information from the people that you want to, that are going to steer you in a good direction, because you don't want to hear what they say. And that's often our parents, because guess what? They've been there. We just dive in, buy the big house. 3 years later, go, oh my God, I can't afford this. And then often we lose the darn thing. So is it a fail? Yeah. There's a black and white fail on that. That did not work. And the learning from that, if we learned the first time, I'm going to go on the list. Yeah, no, I didn't learn the first time. If I had of, I would have stepped back and gone, well, let's look at the monthly payment. Let's look at all these things. And maybe I would have dialed it back to a 2 or 3 bedroom house and done a little bit better job. So what I'm talking to you about today is that kind of course correction. And I've got kind of a protocol that I like to follow with my clients, where you have your goal or your desire, and you should not be judged for it. And you should not ever feel like your dream or your mission is any less than anybody else's. Let's just pretend you want to go to a college that your family has never gone to before, or they haven't even gone to college. That is your drive. And you just keep moving the marker towards those steps. That's my protocol. My philosophy is we set that up, whatever red flags we see starting to happen, we dial it back, try to assess, make some corrections. Then we move forward again. And if that's still our goal, we keep moving forward, have a setback, sit down, analyze it, see what's up, and keep moving. So it's kind of like this loop where you move forward, stop, reassess, step back, make a course correction. And each time you're hoping that you move forward just, you know, just a little bit. Many times on our fails, you know, we want to ask ourselves what worked and what didn't work. And part of gathering those learnings is being willing to dial back your pride a little bit. Yikes, is to dial that back and to really seek the information from those who you feel like will tell you what you need to know to improve something. Could be parents, could be coworkers, could be a best friend, somebody who will tell you like it is. I'll tell you like it is, but you need to let that pride sit on a shelf somewhere. Really look at what these fails are and try to find some commonalities. Try to look at, I like to say, they're almost like experiments, right? These little fails, keep experimenting quickly, master those little fails, and then gain some confidence, move forward. But I want you to, when you look at these fails, there's a reason if you keep failing in the same lane. Let's take relationships. Why do I keep dating the same girl, the same guy? Well, there's a reason. And it sounds like a lot of work. And it is, if you really want to figure this thing out, don't just keep living in the moment and hanging out at the bar and finding the next one that has the traits you think that are going to make you a more whole person. You're probably going to seek out the same traits. You got to sit down and have a come to Jesus and just say, what am I doing consistently that are getting me to the same results? And it is work. It is all about, sometimes if you're a journaler, I'm just going to say it, if you can write down some of those common mistakes, if you can seek input from other people, like I said, if you can, maybe it's just your history. You need to chill. Figure out who the heck you are before you move forward. I mean, nobody wants to hear that you got to save a bunch of money before you buy that dream house. What we want to hear is that's the best house ever, Peggy. My God, it's right where you want it. It's everything. It'll be gone tomorrow. So seek out that information, write it down. One of the other things I wanted to share with you guys, I thought was pretty darn cool, is Saturday Night Live a while back. I don't know where I saw this, but producer Lauren Michaels said that we don't go on at 11:30 because the show is ready. We go on at 11:30 because it's 11:30 and they just go. I mean, live, our radio shows are live. I could be on here, stumbling. So give me a break if I stumble or things don't look perfect all the time. But like Lauren Michaels says, hey, he's live. He's got to go. And if they fail, they fail. They come back, clean it up later, get the hate mail, whatever it is. So let's go through a couple of things on these course corrections. I want you to think about not judging any of your failures. I want you to think about if you feel you failed, how does it feel? Not judge yourself. Okay. I want you to, however, think about if these failures keep happening, because many times people say to me, well, when should I stop? My answer to that is if you keep doing the same thing, I can't tell you the number of times to keep doing it and when to stop until you can answer some of these questions. You need to consider maybe stopping them or doing them differently if you're hurting yourself or others. And I don't just mean like I could say hurting yourself, you know, in the sense of if you're trying to run a marathon, you keep breaking your ankle. I mean, you know, that's hurting yourself. But I mean, if you're losing your family savings over and over because you want to start a new business, that's hurting others and yourself. If you keep trying something and the formula just isn't working, if you're trying a new product, if you're trying a different relationship, to me, the main thing is if you're affecting others with your pride and your decisions, you just need to kind of step back, collect the data. You know, I'm all about data. Get other people's opinions. What are your true feelings? Don't grade yourself, because we're always going to give ourselves an A, aren't we? Most of the time. So if you're grading yourself, why would you course correct half the time? You're just going to keep plowing through. You don't know any other way, any other information. So yeah, that give yourself an A thing. So I want you to look at the word fail in a different way this week. I want you to look at it as loving your mistakes. So hard to do, especially when you're in pain and your heart is hurting and you've tried something and it sucked and you're being judged or you feel you're being judged, to just sit there with a cup of coffee and go, oh man, I just love that epic fail I just had. Like, I want to hurry up and do that thing again. That's tough. I want you to feel the emotion, but yet kind of try not to feel the emotion. I want you to accept you're human, number one, not judge yourself for sure. Seek some feedback. Absolutely has to happen. You know, be honest with your own mistakes. Do your course correction. You have to, unless you're super interested in doing the same thing over and over. Don't sign me up for that one. Not real interested in that. Let go of your pride. And sometimes you have to watch who you seek information from, like parents. You know, I'm a parent, you guys, and I don't want to see my kiddos fail. So I'm going to be super protective on some of the things that I give them, you know, my advice on, instead of just going as an adult, yeah, go ahead and lose that house, buddy. You got to figure out how to pay your mortgage. Just buy that mansion. It's hard. So sometimes seeking it from parents is a little bit tough. Try not to be a perfectionist. Keep improving. You can do all that. You know, your failures don't define you. I feel really strongly about that. And life is just a natural progression of these lessons and these quote unquote failures. So I've said the word, the F word that I can say on air, failure, 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 failure. I want you to look at it differently. It is, you know, I want you to fail in a way that's not going to kill you. If you don't spin those mistake wheels over and over and over again, you're going to get stuck. You're not going to live your finest self, your finest life. So I want you to embrace these failures and laugh at them. So difficult. Try not to drink a bunch of wine and get drunk over them. And I'm going to leave you with a couple more thoughts, and then we're going to take a break, go into our after party, answer some questions, kind of cover some more things that I didn't quite get to. One thing that I want to leave you with is I want to leave you with thinking about writing down your failure of the week, your failure of the month. Do that and then let it sit there for about a week. Look back at it, last week's failure, the month's failure, and I really want you to think about if that was like a, oh my God, catastrophic, never want to do that again, and if you learned from it, okay? Listen, caterpillar never asks to be a butterfly again, girls and boys. Okay, so we're going to come back after this break, and we're going to take a break, and I am going to tell you about a three-part series that I have coming up over the holidays. I'm going to give you more details about it. Super awesome. I'm going to explain to you a little bit more about this failure situation, answer some questions. And I have a couple scenarios on the disorganization and organization series that I did. So I will be right here when you come back. See you in a minute.
Thank you for listening to Coach Couch and Coffee Radio with me, Coach Peggy Wells. Did you hear something that made you go, or have an aha moment? I live for those. If not, we will get you next time. I will be back every first and third Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific to tough love you to become smarter, stronger, braver, healthier, and happier. Duh. I will be back with a barrel of positivity, and you never know when a guest might pop in. There is no time for excuses. So don't forget to bring your coffee and an open mind as we talk all things wellness on Coach Couch and Coffee Radio with me, Coach Peggy Wells. Now go grab a ray of sunshine.